Galatians chapter 6. We actually started looking at these verses last week. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10, where we're told that we will indeed reap what we sow. Last week we looked at that in the sense that we will reap corruption if we sow to the flesh. As it says in verse 8, for he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow sin, we will reap accordingly. We will sow the consequences of sin. And sometimes we convince ourselves that won't happen to me. I can choose to go my own way and do my own thing, and I won't have any consequences to that. God promises that there will be consequences to sin. Numbers tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. And we certainly need to understand that we will reap what we sow as it relates to sin in our lives. But then there's another side to this equation. We'll reap what we sow, and that is that if we sow righteousness, we will reap blessing. And that is emphasized in these verses as well. For he says in verse 8, he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then in verses 9 and 10, he goes on and explains that even more fully. And so sometimes we convince ourselves that we will not reap what we sow, even in the sense of, if I sow righteousness, I'll never reap the blessing. And sometimes we lie to ourselves and say, it's really not worth doing the right thing. You know, we try to do what's right, and we try to do the good, and it seems like we never get any benefit from it. In fact, sometimes it seems like things get even worse when we do the right thing, and so we convince ourselves and we lie to ourselves, it's not worth it. It's not worth doing what's right. It's just too hard, and there's no benefit from it anyway. There's no blessing in it. And we need to come back to these verses and see the truth of God's word. We will reap what we sow. And if we sow righteousness, we will reap the blessing. And so that's the lie we want to look at this morning as we consider the lies we tell ourselves. I'll not reap what I sow, as it relates to sowing righteousness and reaping God's blessing. Let's bow in prayer. Father, guide us this morning as we come to your word. It is truth. And yet, so many times we are bombarded with lies. The lies of this world, the lies of Satan himself, who is the father of lies. The lies that our own flesh will tell us. Father, help us to know your truth, to believe your truth, to apply your truth to our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice in verse 9 of Galatians 6, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Verses 9 and 10 deal with this subject of sowing that which is good and reaping the blessing from that. And he says in verse 9, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't become weary. Or perhaps your translation says, don't lose heart. It's actually a word it's two words put together. It's the word bad or evil, and it's the word in. And so it's really kind of in evil. And it's the idea actually of giving in to evil is this word. And it was used with reference to a soldier who would indeed lose heart or lose courage in the midst of the battle. And so they would give in to that discouragement, and they'd quit fighting. Sometimes soldiers just lose courage, they lose heart, and they just don't want to fight anymore. And that's this word. And so Paul says, don't lose heart or don't give in to the discouragement. Don't lose courage in doing what is good. And so the command, do not lose heart or give in to discouragement when it comes to doing good. And sometimes we can do that. We just kind of get discouraged in doing what's right. We get discouraged in doing what's good. We kind of lose heart and we give in to that discouragement. So he says, don't give in. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We have the promise. The promise is we will reap if we do not give up in despair. It says in your translation, perhaps we faint not, or perhaps your translation uses another word, to give up or to be weary. But the idea is to give up in despair. That's the word here. So in essence, he's saying, don't give in to discouragement, because you will reap if you don't give up. Keep on keeping on. The reaping is coming. Harvest season will be there. Don't give up. It's not instant gratification. Just as in nature, when you sow the seed, it doesn't grow up the very next day. There's a period of time, there's a delay there between the sowing and the reaping. And so he says, don't give in to the discouragement in the sowing, in doing what's good. For in time, in due time, you will indeed reap if you don't give up. Hang in there. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. The promise is that the reaping will come. In fact, he says there, in due season. In due season. The word due there is actually, in your translation may say it that way, a proper time or proper season. It's in its own season is really the thought of the word. In its own season, in its proper season, really it's referring to the season appointed by God. You know, even in nature, once again, God has appointed the seasons. You know, we have spring, we have summer, we have fall, we have winter, and that's all of God. You go all the way back into Genesis in the time of creation, and God established the seasons. And so we have those seasons, and we have the season of sowing, the season of planting. And then we have the season of reaping, the season of harvest. And there is a period of time between those two. And so he's saying in the spiritual realm, that's true as well. We have the season of sowing and we have the season of reaping. And that reaping is in God's appointed time. He's the one that establishes when the reaping will take place. We don't establish that. I can sow goodness today, I can sow righteousness today, and I have no control over when the season of reaping will come, but God does. It's His appointed time. Wait for it. Don't give up. Don't become weary. Don't lose heart. Don't give in to the discouragement and then give up in despair. Wait for God's season of harvest. In verse 9, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. And then you come to verse 10, and it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And so in verse 9, we have just a general reference to moral goodness. He's saying there in verse 9, don't become weary or don't lose heart. Don't give in to the discouragement of doing good. That's just doing good in general, moral goodness. But when you come to verse 10, it's dealing more with specific acts of goodness for someone else. And he says, don't become weary in doing good for others. As you relate to others, as you interact with others, do good to them, he says. And he says, as you have opportunity. Really, that word opportunity in verse 10 is the same exact word translated season up in verse 9. Or perhaps your translation uses the word time, but it's the same word used in verse 9 when we have this due season or this appointed time of harvest that God has, that season. And he says now in verse 10, as you have a season, that's really the thought, the word opportunity. As we are having a season, there is a season for reaping, there is a season for sowing, we are now living in the season for sowing. That's where we're living today. Today is the season for sowing. When he says you have opportunity, he's simply saying you are having a season right now for sowing. So start sowing. The reaping, that's later. In fact, for us as believers, we need to understand that for the greatest part, the reaping isn't even going to be in this life. The reaping's going to be in heaven. That's where the real harvest takes place. That's where the real reaping takes place. And so he's saying, really, right now you're having a season for sowing. That's what this life is all about. This life is a season for sowing. Later is the season for reaping, and for the most part, that's going to be in heaven. Wait for it. Do the sowing now. You're having a season of sowing. That's that word opportunity. We read that word opportunity and we think, well, okay, I'll sit around and wait for an opportunity. And when the opportunity shows itself, I'll do good for somebody. That's really not the thought here. There are plenty of opportunities out there all the time. It is the season for sowing. Get out there and sow. Start doing good for others. Start doing good in general in verse 9. It is the season for sowing. Too many times we get focused on the reaping, and it's not that season yet for the most part. It's the season for sowing, so get out and sow. And don't get discouraged because the reaping isn't coming yet. Don't give up in despair because you haven't reaped anything yet. That season's later. Wait for it. Get out and sow. Now's the season for sowing. Now, that's not to say that there's no benefit, that there's no blessing at all in this life for doing good. That's not to say that there isn't any kind of reaping whatsoever as it relates to sowing good or sowing righteousness. There is. There certainly is. In fact, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and in the life to come." So he says godliness is profitable for this life as well as the life to come. So there is profitability in godliness. There is a benefit. There is a blessing in sowing goodness even in this life. For the most part, the reaping is in heaven, but that's not to say there isn't any blessing. There certainly is. We don't preach a health and wealth gospel. You know, if you do good, if you sow righteousness, God's just going to give you wonderful health, you'll never be sick, and he'll just bless you with all kinds of wealth and all kinds of things and everything your heart wants, he'll give it to you. No, the Bible does not teach that, does it? Not at all. But there is a blessing in sowing righteousness, even in this life. Godliness is profitable even for this life. There is a peace. There is a contentment. There is a satisfaction that God does give to us, even in this life. Though ultimately the reaping is yet to come in heaven with him. You don't need to turn to it, but in 1 Peter chapter 3 we read, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him flee evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." You want a life that's worth loving? You want a life that's worth living? You want a life that sees good days? Refrain your tongue from evil, your lips that they speak no guile, flee evil, do good, let him seek peace and pursue it. So Peter tells us that there certainly is a blessing in doing what's good and sowing righteousness, even in this life. It will produce a life that's worth loving. It will give you good days. But it's because of your relationship with the Lord. It's because you recognize that there is a peace and there is a satisfaction, there is a contentment, there is an assurance that no one else can enjoy apart from Jesus Christ, apart from sowing righteousness, apart from sowing that which is good. So there is a benefit, there is a blessing of that we reap, even in this life. But again, for the most part, keep in mind, the reaping, the harvest time is yet to come. To say that doing what is right is not worth it, or that we'll not reap the benefits, is to call God a liar. God promises we'll reap what we sow. To say otherwise is calling God a liar. To somehow say, well, I'm doing what's right, and it almost seems like it gets worse. We will reap if we faint not. If we don't give up, we will reap. And let me challenge you with this as well. Sometimes as we are doing good, we think we're sowing righteousness. And yet often, our attitude and our motive is not God-honoring. And so we think we're sowing righteousness. We think we're sowing the good. We think we're doing the right thing. And maybe on the outward, we are. But our inward motive and our inward goal, we have ulterior motives. We have ulterior goals in mind. And God sees that heart. He's not going to bless that heart. So we do need to examine our hearts in these matters as well. You know, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and some of those good works that we have sown are going to be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble because the motive was wrong, because our heart was not right. We were not really serving God out of love. And so sometimes we may think we're sowing good and not reaping anything, but in reality, we're not sowing righteousness. We need to examine our hearts as it relates to what we sow. As we consider the idea of not becoming weary, not giving in to discouragement, not giving up in despair, why do we become weary? Why do we sometimes just get tired and lose heart in doing the right thing? Why do we sometimes just give up with our hands in the air when it comes to doing the right thing? Let me give you a couple of suggestions. First of all, because of the work involved. It is work to do the right thing many times. It is work often to do what's good for others. Doing what is right requires work. It requires sacrifice. In fact, in verse 10, when it says, let us do good unto all men, the word do there is actually the word work. Let us work the good unto all men. It's not the same word that's used up in verse 9 when it talks about doing good. It's a different word. In verse 10, it's work the good. Paul recognizes that doing what's right, doing what's good, is work. It requires some sacrifice. It requires some effort. It requires time. If I'm going to do good for someone, I'm going to have to take the time to do it. And you know, I'm convinced in our society today, that's one of the biggest problems. Time. We busy ourselves with so much stuff. We don't have time to do good for others because we're spending all of our time doing good for self. And we just busy ourselves with all kinds of things, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of enjoyments, all kinds of entertainment. Not that those things are in and of themselves wrong, but we just get so busy, we don't have time. And so when we do try to squeeze something in there, we just get worn out. We get tired of the work. We get tired of the effort. We get tired of the sacrifice of our time. And we give up. So sometimes we become weary because of the work involved. Sometimes we become weary because of the battle involved. It's a battle. It's a battle to do the right thing. In fact, if you look just over a page in your Bible, in fact, in my Bible, I don't even have to turn the page. It's chapter 5, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We've all experienced that battle within ourselves, haven't we? We want to do the right thing, but then the flesh is trying to convince us to do something else and to do something wrong. And there's this battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And often we get tired of the battle. We just surrender, we give up because of the battle involved. We surrender to the flesh rather than yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God in our lives. And when that battle is day after day after day, we sometimes just throw up our hands and we give up. We know that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so we're on our guard against that roaring lion, and sometimes we just give up. We get tired of fighting Satan off. We read in the passage there in Romans 7. Again, you don't need to turn to it. But Paul describes this battle. He says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He says, I have this battle. I want to do what's right, but then there's this battle going on within me trying to convince me to do something else. And he says, who's going to deliver me from this? Well, he answers that question in the next verse there in Romans 7. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That victory is through Christ. And I'm not saying that in this life we're ever going to get to the point where there's never any more battles, and that we'll ever get to the point where the flesh isn't lusting against the Spirit. That's going to be there. But I will tell you this. The longer you live and the longer you trust God and the more you know Him and the more victories you have, and the more victories you experience, that battle becomes less. We never get rid of it. Don't misunderstand me. But if you don't give up, one of the reapings that you will experience is that the battle is not quite as intense. Don't give up. Victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then sometimes we just get weary of the waiting. Once again, we have this sowing, and then there's a period of time of reaping, and there's not instant gratification. And we live in a society today that wants instant gratification. I want to do something now and I want to reap the benefit now. And it just doesn't happen that way in our spiritual lives. We sow, and it is now the season for sowing. The season for reaping is later. And Mike read earlier from Romans chapter 8. In that passage, it talked about the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. That's the reaping. That's coming. And it speaks there in Romans 8 of patiently waiting for the redemption of the body. And that is the time when we'll be in heaven with glorified bodies in the presence of God. That's the reaping. That's what we'll enjoy. But it's not now. Oh, there's a benefit now. There's a blessing for now. But that ultimate reaping, that ultimate harvest time is yet to come, and we get tired of waiting. None of us like to wait. I'm sure I'm not the only one. You go into the store and you're ready to buy your stuff and you look for the shortest line, right? You don't want to wait in line to buy your stuff. My problem is I find the shortest line, but the person ahead of me has a problem. And the clerk has to go to the furthest distance in the store to find the price and then come back. And that line that had five people in it gets through before the one that I got in. You hate to wait, don't you? And yet, in this case, we have a promise from God. A promise that says, wait. Harvest time is coming. Just wait. You can trust me. Wait. How do we not become weary? We see why we become weary, because of the work, because of the battle, because of the waiting, but what can we do about it? Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? I just want to look at a few verses there in 2 Corinthians 4. Paul gives us some testimony here in his own life in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He speaks of this becoming weary. In fact, in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, "Therefore, Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. That word faint not is the same word used there in Galatians chapter 6. We don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't give in to discouragement. We don't give up in despair. And he says, we have this ministry, and we have received mercy, and so we don't give up. We don't give in to discouragement. We don't give up in despair. But why? Notice what he says there. He has the right attitude. He says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. In other words, he has an attitude of dependency. He realizes that all of the willpower in the world, all of the positive thinking in the world, all of the determination in the world is not going to keep him from giving up. It's only the grace and mercy of God that's going to keep him from giving up. You see, again, we have this idea, and it's preached at us all the time in the world today, that you can do anything you set your mind to. Just have that willpower, that determination, and you can do it. You can do anything you set your mind to. And Paul says, guess what? I can't stay in this ministry. I can't keep sowing what's good just because I determine in my positive thinking that I'm going to do it. It is only by the grace and mercy of God that I faint not. Paul had an attitude of total dependence upon God. In humility, he humbled himself before God and recognized that only God was going to keep him going in the ministry. Only God was going to keep him going in sowing what is good and right. In fact, you see that even more as you go through this chapter 4. We don't have the time this morning, but he talks about Satan blinding the minds of those that believe not in verse 4. And in verse 5, he says, but we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. And then verse 6, he says that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in their hearts. And what he's saying there is Satan's blinded the minds of those that don't believe, but we're going to keep preaching anyway. We're going to preach that gospel of Christ. And we know that it's not our preaching that's going to convert anybody. It's going to be God who takes that gospel and he commands the light to shine in that dark heart so that the light of the glorious gospel will shine in the heart of the individual. And Paul recognizes that he is totally dependent upon God for anyone to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. It's not his preaching as such. He is simply being used of God as the mouthpiece, but God has to command the light to shine in that heart. Just as he did in creation on that first day of creation, let there be light, and there was light. And God says in the heart of that unbeliever, let there be light, and the light of the glorious gospel shines. And so Paul recognized that it didn't depend upon him, it depended upon God. And then he says in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure of the gospel, he says, I'm just a clay pot that God uses to shine the light of the glorious gospel in the heart of the unbeliever. And so Paul's humility is shown throughout this chapter, and he says, I am totally dependent upon the mercy of God. That's the only thing that's going to keep me going. He has that right attitude of dependency. We also see that he has the right goal. Notice in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Same word, for which cause we faint not. What's the cause for which he does not faint? Well, in verse 15, the glory of God. Our goal must be the glory of God. If we have some other goal in mind, we're probably going to end up in despair, giving up. If I'm doing good because I want to impress people, well, sooner or later, people aren't going to be impressed. And when they're not impressed, my goal's not being realized, I give up. Or if I'm doing good to others because I want them to do good to me, well, guess what? Sooner or later, they're not going to do good to you. So we're going to give up. If I'm doing it simply to please man and try to make a name for myself, well, sooner or later, people aren't going to be pleased with you. And you're not going to have a name for yourself, and you're going to give up. The only way we can keep from giving up, becoming weary in well-doing, is if we have the right goal, and the goal has to be the glory of God. And if we're doing what He wants us to do with that right motive, we can keep on keeping on. We'll keep sowing that which is good. We need to have the right goal. And then finally, we need to have the right hope. Notice these verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to keep our eyes on the eternal, not the temporal. The sufferings of this present time, like Romans says, is not worthy to be compared to the glory that should be revealed in us. And he says a very similar thing here. He talks about the eternal weight of glory in comparison to the temporal light affliction. And he says the eternal weight of glory is in no way compared to the light affliction that you're facing today. Paul speaks of a light affliction. Think about the life of Paul. In fact, later on in Corinthians, he talks about some of the struggles he went through. He was shipwrecked. He was whipped 5 times. Just one. 5 times. He was whipped 39 times. And I think most of you are aware, back in Roman law, if you were whipped 40 times, you had to be put to death. 5 times he was whipped 39 times. He was stoned and left for dead. I mean, none of us experienced the afflictions that Paul experienced, and he refers to it as light affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory. He kept his eyes on the eternal, and that kept him sowing that which was good. In fact, in verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Now, the word look there is the Greek word skopeo, from which we get our word scope. And it's the idea, you know, when you look through a scope on a rifle, it zeroes in on one spot, and you focus on that one spot. And that's what he's saying here, in essence. You need to be laser focused on eternity and not the things of this world. And if you keep laser focused on eternity, you're not going to give up. You're going to recognize the eternal weight of glory is awaiting you. That eternal weight of glory is what you're going to reap if you faint not. And so keep your eyes focused like a laser upon the eternal. And so we have God's promise that we'll reap what we sow. If we sow righteousness, we will, in God's season, reap His blessing. And so the question is, are you willing to wait? Will you accept the lie of the world that it's not worth it to do what's right? Or will you do what's right and know that you'll reap accordingly? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You so much this morning for our time together and for Your promise. And sometimes as we live our lives, it does seem like Your promise is not being fulfilled. We're doing what's right, and sometimes it just seems it makes life even harder. And yet, Father, we cling to Your promise. We'll reap what we sow. The harvest time is coming. We thank You for Your promise. And I pray that we'll not give in to discouragement or give up in despair. Help us to not become weary in doing what's right. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Father, we're so grateful for your love for us. Thank you that you do care as we are in that battle. We thank you that there is victory through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you that no matter how much suffering and how many trials we may face, we will indeed reap according to that which we have sown. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.